Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Last week, Kim Lauder, the executive director of the Help Center, called the rising number of seniors facing homelessness in Northumberland a crisis. On today's show, the county warden, Bob Crate, said on a scale of 1 to 10, the situation is a 4 to 6. The warden will talk about the state of seniors in the county, from affordable housing to those becoming unsheltered. He will discuss what is being done and what also needs to be done. This includes the possible expansion of 310 Division Street. The warden will also talk about the recent conference of the Rural Ontario Municipalities Association, or ROMA, he attended earlier this week. Many local municipal politicians were also in attendance. Homelessness and housing were major takeaways for him. Take a listen to see if you think the county is doing enough to help seniors and address affordable housing. I'm absolutely delighted to have with me today Northumberland County Warden Bob Crate. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Good to see you, Robert.
The interim executive director of 310 Division Street said recently that half the residents at the emergency shelter were seniors. Then the executive director of the Help Center said last week that there was a 15% rise in the number of seniors seeking help because they are facing homelessness. One of them was 90 years old. What is your reaction to those two statements?
It's terrible. I mean, it's almost when you think of the country in which we live in and everything that people try to do, it's almost incomprehensible that we have that type of a situation where we live. But one of the things that came up at the ROMA conference was that homelessness is one of the biggest problems that we face in Ontario. And I mean, every night on the news, we hear about more and more shelters being opened in the city, and our numbers are going up. So it's a situation that I don't see a resolution. I mean, part of the problem is, of course, housing, affordable housing. It's being able to build something that is someone can rent at a reasonable price for what kind of income they have now. But then again, last night on the news, I see where the home builders or the builders association is saying that due to circumstances that they're going to be building less and less houses. So it's a tough situation, and I think we struggle every day to see if we can't find more answers.
I notice you talk about it in terms of housing and building and those kinds of things. What about income levels? I mean, what's being done to help these people have a proper income, since many of them depend on government support and government pensions in order to survive?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I don't know where we go. We have CPP and OAS, but it's not enough, and it's one of the things that there's been discussion on having a guaranteed income, but I'm not sure what we can afford. I mean, we don't want to put ourselves in a position where we tax the working population enough to support the not working population, and one becomes the other. I mean, I mean, I live in a community that's, predominantly senior, and I'm there. And, these people are saying, we can't afford a whole lot more, in taxation, or we'll be looking to sell. But I mean, many of them moved here because it was more affordable than where they were. So what happens then? I mean, where do they go from here? If they can't afford to live here, where do they go from here?
So let's talk in more concrete terms then. What is the county doing to help seniors who face homelessness?
Well, I mean, we have transition house. We have 310 division. We're trying to, what we're doing at 310 division is trying to bring people in and transition them then to affordable housing, or giving them help in getting their affairs in order so they can go from there to the next step, which is an apartment with a reasonable rent. I mean, I think our social services people, God bless them. I'm not sure I could face every day what they face and retain my sanity. It's a terrible situation, and I struggle with it every day.
The data for 2025 that's posted on the county's performance indicators show that 31% of people living in Northumberland are seniors. That's close to one third. Now, in that context, how serious is this situation of affordable housing in seniors, say on a scale to 1 to 10?
Well, I think it's probably in the middle, somewhere 4 to 6. And that's where we, when I said earlier, I mean, that a lot of our population has moved here from, they've moved from Toronto or, one of those areas of high population to retire. We have a, Northumberland County is predominantly agricultural. So, we are looking at areas where we can help. I mean, we encourage when there's construction, we're encouraging people to put in a few affordable housing units into an apartment building. There is the builders get assistance from the county or from Central Mortgage and Housing to they get a help from them to be able to put those units into a building. So I mean, there's a myriad of things that are out there that help with this. And I small things like the things we do with Habitat for Humanity, all those things add up, I guess.
Well, you said it was, 4 to 6? But the executive director of the Help Center called this a crisis. Do you agree or disagree with her?
Well, no, I don't disagree, but it's not, it's not just a crisis in Northumberland. It's a crisis province-wide. But, and I think, we are like every other area doing our best and looking for every possible way that we can help people out. But
Bob, let's be candid. When we talk about this, you're saying it's a province-wide crisis.
Yeah.
But we're talking about Northumberland County. and what is being done in Northumberland? I mean, I it'd be great if we could solve all the problems of the world, but we can't. So we have to do what's local. So, you know, what is the county prepared to do? I mean, the senior population in the county grew by 40% over the last decade. So, I mean, you know, like, what are the practical things that are going to be done if the county is expecting this trend to continue?
Well, I mean, our social services department is I think, working overtime on all these things to help people. But Robert, I mean, how much can we do, and how much can we afford? I said earlier, I mean, are we going to tax people out of their houses so that we can do more for people that are in dire straits? I don't think that works. I mean, we have to, and whether we start as a county, and we are looking at areas to build affordable housing, then that's what we do.
All right. So, with housing prices so high, do you think seniors will self-select and only those who can afford the expensive homes will come here, and those who struggle will just be priced out of the market, and therefore the county will not have to worry?
No, I don't think that. I think, if you look at areas in all over Northumberland, the county has affordable housing. We have affordable housing in Camelford. We have a seniors residence to work with that the county is involved in. We have numerous things like that that are going on in all parts of the county. So we are involved heavily in those things, and we're looking all the time for partnerships to do these things, and as we go, we look at each situation and try to build more and more.
Does the county need to expand its capacity at 310 Division Street to meet this rising demand?
That's an idea. You didn't happen to watch the council meeting yesterday. It was discussed yesterday at county council. The social services department is trying to expand the capacity at 310 Division. We thought we had it worked out, and apparently there's a misunderstanding between us and the town of Cobourg over the numbers. So we're working on that to expand that. So we're in discussions with Cobourg to up the numbers at 310 Division. I think, you know, we'll come to a consensus.
What is the county doing in terms of public outreach and education around helping seniors to find suitable housing or to tap into any of the programs that are offered?
Well, I mean, anybody can, anyone with a problem can walk into the social services department, and they would be given help to find whatever it is that they're trying to source, whether it's housing or, supplements, whatever. I mean, we have people that do that every day of the week.
The debate around the county council table and within many people centers around mental health and addiction. Has this distracted politicians and residents from seeing the bigger picture that homelessness also affects other demographics like seniors or families or other people who are just facing hard times? Is this a case of missing the forest for the trees?
No, I don't think so. I think it all becomes a combination. And when they do an intake at 310 Division, I mean, they assess the person for what their problem is. And if it's a mental health issue, then they try to get them help for that. I mean, we have people that look after all different situations, and but mental health is a big thing, and it's part of the problem we have with the drug culture. All those things are, but they're all taken into consideration. I mean, the people that are at 310 and Transition House are trained to do those.
I appreciate what Transition House does, Bob, but what I guess I'm asking you is that when I listen to debates, or when anybody in the public listens to debates around the county council table or follows the various social media channels, a lot of it is around mental health and addiction. But we don't hear politicians talking about we need to deal with seniors and talking about this specifically. And I guess the other thing is families. There are families that are finding themselves homeless. Not as many, but there are those. And then there's just others who are just down on their luck, have had a bad run, and they're just trying to transition. We never hear that discussed. And I guess that's what I'm trying to get to.
Well, I think all those things go hand in hand. I mean, I believe that all those things, I mean, you might hear more about mental health, because mental health is a serious problem, but all the things that go into someone being homeless or any other issues, all those things are taken into consideration. And I maybe the mental health part gets a little more attention as far as media and discussions go, but I don't think that we miss the boat on looking after, trying to look after. I mean, it's I struggle with trying to think of ways that we can help people. But you know, we have to also look at. I mean, we went through a thing last year with 310 Division because it was affecting the downtown core of Coburg, and you know. You want to help people, but you can't have them destroying the core of your downtown business area, and just let it go run rampant. I mean, we had to make changes, and we do that as we go. I mean, if we find a situation, then we have to sit down and address it and come up with an answer.
Will the county be sitting down and talking then about seniors and homelessness?
We do it all the time. We do it all the time. I mean, our social services department, I give them full credit. They are out there all the time looking for ways to make every dollar we spend go further so that we can help more people. And we're doing it now. We were doing it yesterday as we struggled through a part of our council meeting. It becomes a hard struggle trying to I mean, I talk to people, and
I'd like to move on. Let's talk about the recent Roma conference you attended earlier this week. What was the big takeaway from the conference?
Well, I mean, the discussion was around most of the things we've just talked about. Housing, homelessness. I mean, those are the things. I mean, we had delegations. The Warden's Caucus had a delegation, and we had a delegation from the county on the broadband situation. You know, we had those plus, you know, we attended the different sessions, but that's the crux of the same thing. I mean, homelessness, housing are on their agenda just as much as that it's on our agenda. I mean, it's province-wide, the problems we face. And, I get up this morning and I hear that it's going to be minus 30 tomorrow night. And I start to think, what can we do? I mean, we can't leave people on the street, but sometimes, and it's hard sometimes because some people don't want help. They don't want us to put them in an enclosed space. It's a struggle every day. But getting back to Roma, it's interesting. What I find at Roma is the side discussions are what really sort of puts the icing on the cake, because when you're talking to other mayors and councillors, and you're with our provincial members, ideas come up, so it's always helpful to be there and to be involved in the discussions. I mean, the people that they get to do the sessions, the moderators and the mayors from different localities that are all people that are on the same page as we are, and so you're there, and hopefully you can pick up some useful information.
Okay. Can you give us a specific example of one conversation you had that you found fruitful?
Well, let me think. I think of one, and not at this conference, but one on transportation that gave us the ideas of how to set up our transit for the area we live in, because we're not going to have a bus service, but we have managed to put together with working with one of our partners to put together a busing system so that people can get to medical appointments and so on and so forth.
Can you tell us if you met with any provincial ministers or the premier at all? And if you met with some of the ministers, could you tell us who you met with?
We met with the associate minister, Sam Oosterhoff, on the broadband situation. And because we're looking, we're looking to expand what we've done so far in the broadband and to the original plan included about 12,000 houses in Northumberland, and in reality we're missing about 1,200. Maybe it's either 1,200 or 1,900. I haven't got the numbers in front of me, but we're missing those. And so we're looking for a sort of a second run to make sure that everybody has it. It's so important today to have this high speed internet. And I mean, we're using it as we meet today, but there are people that that their livelihood depends on good connectivity, and we have areas where people they have good reception all winter because there's no leaves on the trees, and then we have people that live on a street where they have to have all their work done by 3 o'clock in the afternoon because the buses come home and the kids come home. And then once they get on their gadgets, the connectivity goes down. So that's a big one for us. And it was a good discussion. The associate minister was very receptive, and I thought that we presented a good path forward.
The Campbellford Bridge or the Trent River Crossing would appear to be going forward only if there is money provided by the upper levels of government. Did you get a chance to raise this with any of the officials at the Roma Conference?
It was raised by our staff at the conference. I know, we've had talks with our minister, who supports us. I mean, it doesn't matter any of these large infrastructure projects are all connected to the province and the federal government. So we were in a position where we can't look for that help until we're ready to build. So we are now at a position where we have the, they call it the 90% drawings, and that we now can, look at getting an exact price on what it would cost for the bridge. And we can also now go looking for money. And I will be, I've talked casually with our MP, Phil Lawrence, and he's very supportive of going forward. If you look at the situation, the bridge in Camelford is about 50 years old. And in the next 10 to 15 years, it's going to take a major reconstruction. And if that happens without having a second crossing, it will be disastrous, not just for Camelford, but for, the highway going through is a major route going from Highway 7 down to the 401. So there is a ton of traffic that goes through there. So our partners in the province and at the federal government understand this, and I think they will, they will come to the table. It's a matter of us. I mean, we've talked about it for so long. Everybody thinks it will just happen, but you have to be, as I said, you got to have the 90% drawings. I think that's what they call them, to put it in front of the ministers.
So, if I'm a listener, what Yes. could you tell me that would make me think that going to the Roma conference was a win for their community and not a colossal waste of time?
Oh, I don't. I think that being able to meet with whether it's in a formal delegation or on a sidebar, to meet with the ministers and be able to put your case forward in person is worth being there.
Finally, the county has joined the Great Lakes Cities Initiative. What is it, and why is it important to residents that the county belong?
Well, part of it is, the Great Lakes is the volume of water that's there is very, very important to both sides of the border. And I think that as we look at this, more and more, we need the politicians on both sides of the border working together to make sure that is maintained. And also, I think it opens up avenues where we can look at working together through other means, through trade and so on, tourism, all those things. And being there, we have joined, Brighton is a member, the town of Cobourg is a member. So it's obvious that it's important to to local government to be there and have a seat at the table.
Bob Crate, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
It's my pleasure, Robert, anytime.
That was Northumberland County Warden Bob Crate. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.